welcome to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenilia Harris, and I'm a certified financial planner and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of professional women who are going through various life transitions. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women professionals and women business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. My guest today is Renee Baker. She is Senior Manager at Aberdeen Asset Management, where she develops and executes marketing strategies for the closed-end fund complex. She also leads the fund's Investor Relations and Outreach Program. Renee joined Aberdeen in 2014 from Oppenheimer Funds, where she was responsible for institutional marketing. Previously, Renee held senior-level marketing roles at Walkers Global in the Cayman Islands and J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Renee holds a B.S. in finance from Rutgers University, an MBA from Pennsylvania State University, and a doctorate in business administration from Wilmington University. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you so much for having me, Zenilia.
Oh, I'm so excited to get into this conversation. So I want to go ahead and just get started. So
Okay. Share
with us a little bit about your background and how you got into finance and investing.
Sure. So I was always interested in finance. So when I was at Rutgers, I majored in finance. And my thought was, you know, I was going to go to Wall Street and I was going to be a power broker, just like I'd seen on the movies, but it was always going to be, you know, me, finance powerhouse. And that's not to say that it didn't turn out that way. But, you know, I started working in the asset management industry upon coming out of college, and I worked at some, you know, large firms in various roles. And I always find it interesting that, you know, I'm a marketer, but it's not marketing in the way that most people think about. I'm not a marketer that, you know, I execute strategies, but I am spending all of my time talking to financial advisors. I'm talking to investors, institutional investors. So the type of marketing that I do is financial services marketing, which requires having an understanding of the audience, but also having an understanding of the products that we speak about. So that my career has progressed in that way, coming more from, you know, basic financial associate, moving into marketing, but marketing in a way because it gave me an opportunity to have the conversation with the individuals on the other side of the table and not just be relegated to the back room. Not saying that it was a bad thing, but my personality dictates that I'm more of a people person, more wants to be engaging with others, and that's just carried through in my career. And from an educational standpoint, you know, I just kind of build upon that and just wanted to hone my skills from a financial standpoint, but also from a global business and marketing standpoint as well. So it all has come together and has led me from, you know, my journey is different. Everyone's journey is, but, you know, it led me here to Aberdeen Asset Management in 2014 to talk about closed-end funds, which is something that really had never really spent a lot of time talking about before.
Okay. Because a couple of weeks ago, we actually met each other at an event where you spoke about closed-end funds and international investing. And I wanted to have you talk more about the importance of international investing as part of building a portfolio. So can you share your insights in regards to that?
Sure. I would be happy to do that. And also I wanted to, if you don't mind, just, you know, I talk about closed-end funds, but this applies to all investing. So whether or not you're going to invest in a closed-end fund or a mutual fund, or stock or whatever your choice is, this is something that is applicable to all.
Okay.
So I just wanted to mention that. So, you know, most people, when we think about international investing, there seems to be this thought process around, you know, why should I invest internationally? So one of the reasons, or what people need to understand about investing internationally, typically there seems to be, here in the U.S. at least, there's this idea that, you know, we have very strong domestic environment. We don't really want to step outside of our box. And when I talk about international investing, most of the things that I talk about are looking at globalization. And the benefits of international investing, they've been well documented. And yet, despite the world becoming more global, investors are still focusing on their home market. And we refer to that as home bias. And that became apparent more recently through the global financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And it started with the U.S. with the subprime mortgages and the collapse of Lehman Brothers. And just that time period sent shockwaves all around the world. And what happened was it was a near collapse of one of the most established international markets. So this is something that, you know, it comes up. People certainly get confused about it. But what international investing allows for is access to new investment opportunities, which could also lead to better, potentially lead to better performance. And this is that's one of the benefits of international, but it really gets down to diversification.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, we were talking about some of the benefits. Can you talk about some of the downfalls that also come with investing globally?
Yeah, so there's a lot of downfalls, or there are risks with investing generally. But this is why diversification is so important. Investors need to think more broadly. We don't want to, you know, the saying is, we learn in Finance 101, do not put all of your eggs in one basket. You need to have more baskets. Right. And it gets down to there's a challenge with one basket, you know, you want to be able to get some benefit out of the other. So the diversification benefit is a benefit, but look, as with any investment, international opportunities are going to present risk. And although there may be potential when investing internationally, because they're more volatile than some developed markets, you need to look out for certain type of risk. So one of the risks that you want to look out for is the political risk. Now, we see on the news every day that there's so much and so many changes going on, from the Middle East to Asia, even to South America.
Yes.
Some countries within those regions are not just new to capitalism, but democracy, and there's so many different challenges that are happening in these worlds. So when the political implications take place, there may be implications to the investments in those countries. So investors have to be worried about the potential of political risk. So that's one risk. Another risk is currency and liquidity risk.
Right.
So different parts of the world experience different issues with their currency. Every day, currency changes. It's more dynamic than most people think. And if you're looking at the U.S. dollar compared to other currencies, there may be changes. So if there is a well-publicized or not-so-publicized debt issue, or there's some problem in the currency or the economics of a certain country, it has a negative impact on, it may potentially have a negative impact on that particular currency. So you, when you're investing internationally, you want to be aware of the news, the trends, and some of the currency fluctuations to help to mitigate that risk. But that is a potential risk when you're dealing with international investments.
So would you say, when you go on international, and some of this might be my opinion as well,
mm-hmm.
I'm injecting into this conversation, that if you're going into an investment that where you don't have as much knowledge about, that the approach could be to do that through a vehicle such as a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund or closed-end fund.
Right, and that's really important, and thank you, Zanilia, for bringing that up, because when you are, let the professionals handle it, right? So when an investor is making a decision about some unknown region, they should rely on the expertise of the people that know, those individuals that have been, or those firms or investment professionals that have a understanding of the region. There's analysts that work to do research on those regions, investment managers that really have a keen understanding of the world and the countries that they invest in. So having a manager that understands is important. Now, from my perspective, and especially because I work for a firm that is an active manager, I'd say when you are making a decision to invest in a country that is emerging, an emerging country, or one that you do not have a lot of information about considering the risk, you may want to go with an active manager. And the benefit that an active manager will provide is the ability, it's a dynamic environment. You want to be sure to have a manager that is paying close attention to your portfolio, that's making changes, and not just following the benchmark, which is the barometer that the portfolio is against, or the indice or the index that the fund is following. You want a firm that understands and has the ability to make decisions, actively make decisions, especially in emerging markets, which could be volatile.
Yes, definitely. I think when we were talking initially, I brought up all of the what's been going on in Brazil.
Right.
And that's a political situation. And initially, a couple of years ago, I'll share a little bit about my thoughts about Brazil. Years ago, when I had learned that the Olympics was going to Brazil, I thought, oh, this will be a great opportunity. And then all of a sudden, it seems like things kind of exploded or imploded, and things changed, and it was based on a lot of things that were going on politically with the government in Brazil. And so
right. We're
seeing that play out right now. So it's been really, really interesting, you know, watching how global we are and how the effects of countries, how they affect our domestic markets. So I think that you brought up a lot of good points about understanding what you're embarking upon when you decide to invest outside of your home market.
Right.
And recognizing that in those instances, you should look to have professionals guide you with where you should be, as far as using a professional money manager in order to, you know, who has feet on the ground to
mm-hmm.
do the research and that's familiar with the country and all of the makeup of the country, what's going on in the country, what's the political environment in the country. I think that that's a great point that you made. So now let's take it to bring it back to you and learn more about you. So what do you feel, what things do you feel have influenced you towards the success you have accomplished so far?
I think that it kind of just goes back for me. What I kind of live a life basically that I do the things that I believe that make me happy. And it sounds a little cheesy, but I'm a wife and I'm a mother and I'm a daughter and a sister and a friend.
Right.
And there's so much to what I do. So when I come to work and I look at success, and success is subjective. You know, success for me started with making sure, you know, once I was married and I had a family, success for me is that I put good humans in the world and that I was a good wife and mother. So that is the most place, and when I was growing up, success for me was, am I being a great daughter, sister? You know, so success to me is very holistic. And when I come to work every day, I give this firm or the best that I have. And I'm always going to lead with putting the best foot forward. I work very hard, but it's not hard work. It's very fulfilling work because I'm doing something that I really want to do. And you may say, well, why would anyone want to talk about closing funds? And why would anyone want to do that? It's because what I get to do every day on behalf of the organization that I work for is tell people about something, one, that they may not understand or know. I also get an opportunity to educate advisors and investors through the marketing strategies that we employ about this opportunity that has been around for a long time. So I also want to kind of step back for a minute and say, you know, success, like investing, is a long-term play. And right. Short-term things, you know, usually don't last. So I do get that opportunity, and we get to do very interesting work every day in a world that is becoming more dynamic, more global, and with the amount of funds that we have, you know, we talk about 13 funds, and it's not a lot in the grand scheme of things, but we get to be very specific about the things that we talk about, and we have access to individuals and people that also share insights and information with us. So when I think about what success or what led me to success, it's really about how I've defined it and how I see it, because there are always going to be people that are more successful in their terms. But when I look at my husband and my children, I see no matter what.
Right. Oh, I love that answer. I love that answer. So what are some tips that you can share for women who are in any industry that can help them to get to executive leadership opportunities within their fields?
I think the most important thing is to, well, I'm not going to say it's the most important thing. I mean, you obviously you bring your A game, but it's always good when you have someone, a mentor, and you have someone to help you navigate the environment. And the environment can sometimes, especially I was at a few Wall Street firms, the environment is not always easy. Just like international investing, I'm going to make a tie to that here, it can sometimes be volatile because things change and environments change, markets change, people leave. But if you have someone that you can mentor to help you that's been through it before, see, I see how this is all tying back to the things that I said, and it's not on purpose, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of the active, like that, like I said, if somebody has been down that road before and they can help you to navigate that environment, then that's really helpful. And I've had individuals that have consistently been there and who have helped me to navigate environments. And working with, you know, just working on my relationships. And just maintaining those. I think sometimes, and I was just having a conversation with someone today who was recently displaced, and it's sometimes we think that we don't need our relationships when things are going well.
Right.
And you still need to manage your relationships despite the fact you must check in, despite the fact that everything is going on in your life. Because when you're in a corporate environment, what happens, things change. And if you've not paid attention to your environment and then all of a sudden you need help or you're looking for a new opportunity, you know, most people aren't going to be willing to just pick up the phone when you've only called them when you need something. So I think just maintain your relationships. Don't ever think that you know a person just by judging them. And don't think that just because a person, you never know who you're going to run into. And I've run into individuals that were CEOs of firms that don't look like people think that a CEO should be. But if I'm nice to them or I'm civil and respectful when I meet them, when I'm not looking for something, those relationships have certainly worked well for me. And, you know, for most of my career, I have taken roles that I felt gave me the flexibility to raise my family and to be there for them. But I've also been able to still do the work that I've been able to do, still get the education. And, you know, now with my daughter, you know, my youngest daughter is now 18. So I said my world opens up a lot because she's graduating in a month. So it's going to be game on a little bit more.
Well, you know, I applaud you for, you know, the education, because you have your doctorate degree. How did you do that raising your girls and being a wife?
I can tell you. No, it's so funny because when you in it, you're just in it. I just knew that I wanted to do it, and I needed to do it in a way that was that worked for me. And it was not easy. And I don't care where you get a doctorate from, it is not easy.
Right.
But my husband is so supportive, and I'm very fortunate to have a very supportive husband. I'm also very fortunate to have my parents, who are very close. And, you know, we have conversations with our children, and everybody has skin in the game. So
right.
we have meetings and we talk about it, but I love the fact that every time I went back to school, you know, and I've had the kids, you know, I had kids when I went back and got my MBA and my doctorate, and every time I went back to school, the girls, it actually challenged them too, because if I can get these grades, then, you know, there was never any excuse. So they always stepped their game up. And when I went through getting the doctorate, it was very challenging, but I had to learn where to give. So I never shortcut the family,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, that meant that friends and extras would not be available. I wouldn't be available. So over the course of the 4 years that it took for me to get that degree, you know, I would say I can't do everything, and it was okay by me because I need to take care of my family. But I'll tell you, looking back, I sometimes don't know how I did it, but I know that, you know, when I came out of there with, you know, I ended up graduating with honors, and nobody ever looks at your, you know, transcripts or whatever. It didn't matter. But for me and for my kids and for my husband, it certainly mattered that, you know, despite my work did not stop, I wasn't taking any less of responsibility at work. And I did it while I was working through an executive doctorate program, and I still went to class, and I still did my work, and I still did my research. But it was definitely a lot of very early mornings and a lot of very late nights. And but I did it, and I'm very proud that I did it, and I think that the girls are happy. My daughters are very pleased with the fact that I was able to do it, because they know that I never missed a beat
right.
and being their mother while I did it. My job, I never missed a beat, and for my husband, I did not miss a beat.
Right.
Maybe
right.
if anybody suffered, he'd be like, oh, he had to deal with the drama of, like, oh, my goodness, you know, but... You know, I think the thing that the takeaway for that is I do believe that if there's anything that you really, truly want, as big as it may seem, I never, ever thought that I would get a doctorate, but as big as it may seem, it is all possible. And even if you tie it back to investing, you start with baby steps. You save, you invest. And over time, those small steps lead into a bigger thing. And
right.
that's how I've done through my career, through my education, and it's something that, and even in investing, when I started to invest, you know, coming out of high school, I think that's when I started, because I was majoring in finance and I wanted
right.
to start. And I started with, you know, $5 a week, but it was something that I would put it into a, you know, they had those holiday cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those holiday savings, and you would put that money into a holiday account, and then the bank will give you the check at the end of the year.
Right.
So that was the way that I started, and then I kind of kicked it up on my own. But with everything, you know, you can do whatever you put your mind to doing if you're willing to take the risk, take the, you know, the responsibility, and look at it from a long-term perspective, because I knew that it was going to be a lot of work, but I had to focus on what I was focusing on and just keep moving forward.
Right. Well, we're going to end on this last question, and I want you to share with me, and it's going to be interesting to hear your perspective on this because you're in the finance industry, but what has been the best financial decision you've made as a professional woman?
So I think the best financial decision that I ever made, and this is not because I'm sitting here talking about international, is really because I started to open my world. Okay. And when you start to realize that the world is so much bigger than just these 50 states, and you start to realize that, when I realized rather, that the world, there were so many growth opportunities in other countries, and recognizing that some of these countries and some of these companies were, you know, I didn't realize that certain technology was coming from certain countries.
Right.
It was, wow, I'm going to kind of get in on this opportunity and start to invest in some of these other countries and regions and see some benefit. That was really something that I think was the best financial decision for me, because it took diversification a little bit further than what I had expected it to be, and just investing in, you know, basic bonds and just basic whatever stocks that were, you know, coming from my advisor. But it was certainly something that it was opening up for me on the possibilities that were out there. And actually, I'll tell you that even with my travel, so not only just investing internationally, but even from my travel experiences, that started to open my world, because then I wanted to go to those countries
I heard about.
Yes, because I,
and that was like, oh, maybe I'm going to slip in one other question. It's like, have you actually gone to some of the places where you've actually invested, you know, this to some of the companies or the regions, especially since, you know, because of the firm that you work for and their focus, has that led you to, you know, actually having an opportunity to visit some of these places? And so you kind of answered that. I think that's fantastic. And I agree with you. I like that phrase, we need to open our world.
Yes, open your world, and it's like, get those passport stamps, not just in your travels, but also in your portfolio.
Right.
I just came up with that. I might use that. I don't know.
Well, Renee, it has been a true pleasure having a conversation with you today. Thank you so much for taking time to share such powerful information, and I'm sure it's going to help a lot of women to open their world. Thank you again.
Well, thank you, and I hope that any of your listeners, I hope that they really get to learn from my experience, and thank you so much for having me today. Thank you for what you do every day to help us open our worlds as women and as people that invest.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I'm humbled.